his the Babylonians and his army, okay, the Kastim, 2.5 years to succeed in breaching the walls of Yerushalayim. In other words, Hashem was giving us a chance, 2.5 years, to do teshuvah, so this event should not occur. Unfortunately, we did not do teshuvah, and after 2.5 years, Hashem said enough. He allowed them to breach the walls, a lot of different stories, Midrashim, exactly what happened, and they came into the walls of Yerushalayim, and there was a street battle for a month, from the 9th day of Teves until Tisha B'Av. Until from the ninth day of Tammuz until Tisha B'Av for 1 month, until they made their way all the way from the walls of Yerushalayim, the old city, to the Beis Hamikdash, and they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, that was that stage. So the siege 2.5 years earlier, on the 10th day of Teves. That's part one. Part two was when they breached the walls on the 9th day of Tammuz. Part three, when they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash 1 month later on the 9th day of Av. And then everyone fled. There were people that many were killed, and many fled or exiled. And very quickly, Nebuchadnezzar appointed Gedaliah ben Achikam to be the governor of the people who he would allow to remain in Yerushalayim to occupy, to keep the land, to be a presence in the land. And there was jealousy by a fellow whose name was Yishmoel, Yishmoel, and he was jealous. He was assisted by the nation of Ammon in an undercover operation where he assassinated Gedaliah. With the assassination of Gedaliah, which took place either on Rosh Hashanah, the following year, a month and a half later after Tisha B'Av, or some say it was on the second day of Tishrei, some say the third day of Tishrei, the She'eris HaPleita, whoever was still residing in Yerushalayim, petrified that when Nebuchadnezzar would find out that his hand-picked governor was assassinated by another Jew, he would wipe them all out. So they all, against the advice of Yirmiyahu, they fled for their lives to Mitzrayim.
Yishmoel ben Netanya, by the way.
Yishmoel ben Netanya, thank you. Yishmoel ben Netanya, he was the assassin. And he was a prop. He was propped up by Ammon. Ammon had their own axe to grind with Nebuchadnezzar, and they it's like, you know, the elections. Who meddled into the elections? The Chinese, the Russians, this one, that one. Okay, so the one who committed the crime, follow the money, was assisted by someone, and it was Ammon who assisted Yishmoel ben Netanya, who went and assassinated Gedaliah. And that was a very great tragedy. The tragedy was that we did not obey the words of the Navi, and we fled, we went to Mitzrayim. So it's very important to appreciate that there are four steps in the process. And the truth is, the fifth step, we always talk about these things, and the fifth step was when the word reached the exiles. The word reached, it took from the time that when Bavel, there was a you know, Google and Facebook censored, Twitter, they censored anyone reporting that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It was censored. No one was able to, the news did not travel, the roads were closed. The Goyim, the people, the Sheris HaPleita living in Bavel, those that were exiled by Nebuchadnezzar 11 years earlier with the Chodosh VeHamasker, with the craftsmen, and the Talmidei Chachamim, they did not find out until the fifth day of Teves. We should have really mentioned this on the fifth day of Teves, which was a couple of days ago. On the fifth day of Teves was the day when the report arrived in Bavel that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and that was a very great day of tragedy. And in fact, there's machlokes in the Gemara, some hold that we should not fast on the 10th day of Teves, we should have fasted on the fifth day of Teves, because that's called the Yom HaShemua. So the truth is, there are five very significant days in the process of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. There is Asar B'Teves, when the siege began, 2.5 years later, when the walls were breached on the 9th day of Tammuz, and some say it was on the 17th day of Tammuz, a month later, or 3 weeks later, on Tisha B'Av, is part three. Part four was when Gedalia ben Achikam was assassinated, let's assume on Rosh Hashanah. And then the 5th day of Teves, a few days ago, is when the report of everything that happened reached the people living in Bavel, when they came to realize there's nothing left but them. They're the only survivors, the Klal Yisrael. These are the 4/5 critical dates. From these 4/critical 5 dates, which one is the most severe? Now, which one is the most severe? The most... So Rav Menachem Sperling here just said Tisha B'Av. Why did he say Tisha B'Av? Because we fast at night. We have 5 inuyim. We're not allowed to wear leather shoes. We sit on the ground. We have a whole long day. That's definitely true. There is an element, there is a dimension about Tisha B'Av that's definitely much more strict, severe than the other 4 days. However, there is another element about tomorrow that is even more severe, because tomorrow is the beginning. And Chazal ascribed much great significance to the beginning. Aschalto de Paronusa. The beginning of tragedy is the worst. There is an element of pain in the beginning. It's a very, very painful thing to think about, the beginning of a tragedy. Mm-hmm. And that took place tomorrow when the siege began. And it's for that reason, okay, one of the reasons that even if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, we observe it on Sunday. Mm-hmm. We push it off. Okay, if Tisha B'Av falls out, it can't fall on a Friday, it's not okay, but if it falls out on Shabbos, we push it off. If Asara B'Teves theoretically cannot fall out, because the way the calendar is established, but if theoretically Asara B'Teves were to fall out on Shabbos, we would fast on Shabbos. Okay, that's a big topic of discussion, why that's so, but basically one of the contributing factors is it's more chomor, it's more strict than Tisha B'Av, because it's the beginning. And the beginning has a very powerful, powerful effect. Even Shabbos we have to fast if it theoretically would fall out on Shabbos. Now, what does the nafka mean? It falls out on Friday. Friday is not a day to fast. Erev Shabbos, the Chvod Shabbos. So really, when it falls out on Friday, really we should push it off to Sunday. That's what we would have done if it would have been another fast day. But we don't. Because since it's so strict, it falls out on Friday, we have to fast on Friday. Now let me elaborate a little bit more. Okay, there are more elements. I want to try to put together a few pieces together to explain. There's another element about Asar B'Teves that's not unique to the other fast days. It's mainly, this has to be nuanced very delicately, I'll explain. It's the only fast day of the process that is exclusive to the first base HaMikdash. In other words, Shivasa B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av, we don't just observe in commemoration of the breaching of the walls of Yerushalayim and the Churban Beis HaMikdash of the Bayis Rishon, we observe it for the Bayis Sheni. Because it's a fact that the Bayis Sheni was also destroyed on the same exact day. Now, as far as the breaching of the walls, there's a big discussion as when the walls were breached for the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. One thing is for certain, that the 17th day of Tammuz was when the walls of the Bayis Sheni were breached.
Sheni also?
Sheni, yes, that's for sure. The Bayis Sheni, yes. So the question is, when were the walls of the Bayis Rishon breached? So some say they were breached on the 17th day. The problem is it explicitly says in the Pasuk that the walls of the Bayis Rishon were breached on the 9th day of Tammuz, a month before the Churban. However, there's a machloikis between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. I don't remember which one says. One of them says It's a mistake. They lost track of time. When you're under siege for 2.5 years, the atomic clocks don't work anymore. The batteries run out. And they lost track of time. And it was recorded the wrong date. It's a shocking thing. The Gemara says this to indicate how low we fell. Now, the Jewish pride is ki hi chokhmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ho'amim. One of the elements of wisdom that the Jewish people have that no other nation has is the ability to understand and to understand time, the study of time. It's not for nothing that Einstein was a Jew. Okay? The ability to study time. And even that, we didn't even know the date. What a busha. What a busha uchlima. You ever go into the bank and you write the wrong date on the slip? You'll get a real mishaberach from the teller behind the counter. You're such a fool. You don't even know what today's date is. Okay, you don't know what the date is. It was a charpa for us that we did not even know the correct calendar date that we recorded in the Navi. Because the truth was, it really occurred on the 17th day of Tammuz. But we observed, but it was written the 9th day. It's a machlekes in the Gemara between the Bavli and Shammai, that is correct. But in any event, whatever it is, when we observe this, the 17th day of Tammuz and the day of Tisha B'Av, we are certainly observing the breaching of the wall of Yerusha for both the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. Now, what about Tzom Gedalia? Tzom Gedalia is only the Bayis Rishon. Yet, we have to appreciate that Tzom Gedalia, to a degree, it's part of the Aseres Yimei Teshuva. So it's true, it's really exclusive to the Bayis Rishon, not the Bayis Sheni, but it also has a chelek of Aseres Yimei Teshuva. There's an element that gets mixed in there that takes away from its purity of fasting only for the Churban of the fourth event. However, tomorrow, Asar B'Teves, there's nothing else. When it's not tomorrow, the Aseres Yimei Teshuva. There's no such date of the siege beginning. We don't have any record when the siege began for the Churban Bayis Sheni. There's no record. It doesn't say anywhere when the siege began. We don't know when it began. It's not recorded. It's not significant. When we fast tomorrow, it is an exclusive day to focus on the Bayis Rishon. Okay, that's something very important. When you're dealing with all of the fast days that we have, it's the Bayis Sheni. And even Gedalia ben Achikam, which is Tzom Gedalia, it's not only Gedalia. There's more elements in that fast day, being that it's part of the, it became adopted by the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. So it's part of, you know, the process of doing Teshuvah for Yom Kippur. But tomorrow, there's no distortion. There is no static. There's no confusion. It's purely a day to reflect upon a time that we really, really can't connect to. A time that's really way beyond our imagination. Bayis Rishon, who can really connect to the Bayis Rishon? Can't even connect what happened yesterday. You want to go connect to the Bayis Rishon? And you're going back. I mean, it's very fascinating that today we're living, we're observing a tainus to commemorate an event that took place in the era of the first Beis Hamikdash. It's powerful stuff. Okay, this goes to show who we are, how we preserve our history, our tradition. And there's another important element to appreciate about the fast days that we put all together in one moment. According to the prophets, you don't have to fast on a specific day. When all Yirmiyo, I forgot who Yirmiyo, when the Yechezkel said, Tzoyim HaChamishi, Tzoyim HaRevihi, Tzoyim HaChamishi, Tzoyim HaShevihi, Tzoyim HaAsiri, they gave us numbers, 4, 5, 7, 10. 4 is the fourth month, Tammuz. 5 is the fifth month, Av. 10, the tenth month, Teves. 7, the seventh month is Tishrei. They didn't give us days. There's no day. Mm-hmm. A month. And what does that mean? Originally, okay, this goes back before we were born. Originally, there was no day. Tisha B'Av wasn't necessarily on the ninth day. Every year, in your little shtetl, your rabbi, who had your respect for, he would say, let's see, we have to fast one day in Chodesh Tammuz. Is anyone making a wedding this month? Is anyone making Sheva Brachas? Any bar mitzvahs this month? Let's look at the communal calendar. Is there a yeshiva dinner scheduled for this month? So let's pick a day that's convenient to commemorate the breaching of the walls. Oh, on the 17th day, there's a dinner? YU is making a dinner? Okay, so we won't make it on that day. What about on the 10th day of Tammuz? Oh, Chaim Yankel is making a chasana? No, not that day. So let's find a day that's convenient for everyone. This guy's out of town that day. Okay, this is the day we commemorate the breaching of the wall on the 11th day of Tammuz. Because all the requirements were only any day you want in the month. Okay, comes Chodesh Av. So the Bezin sits down, looks at the calendar, and they decide when they want. And maybe they'll send out an email, change the schedule. Change the schedule. We're not going to observe Tisha B'Av on the 12th day. We're going to observe it on the 26th day because of conflict in schedules, in people's schedules. Just one day, you pick a day. That takes away from the severity of the tainus. If the tainus is flexible, if the date of the tainus is flexible, you know, just 1 second. There's some noise over here. Just close the door. There's a step around the door. You can close the door. You have to, on the bottom, on behind the door, you have to pick it up. If the date is not fixed in the calendar, it automatically allows there to be leniency. It's not, the tainus is not the chomor. Now here is what is different. The tainus of Asar B'Teves is not just the tainus of the month, even though indeed it's true, it says in the pasuk, the fast of the 10th month, it also says in the pasuk the words, Be'etzem Hayoim Hazeh. Okay, the pasuk, and this is also, the pasuk says, okay, the pasuk says when the event happened. Okay, it says in the pasuk, "Be'etzem hayoyim hazeh." Pasuk in Yecheskel that records the event. Here it is, the pasuk in Yecheskel, Yecheskel Perek Chav Dalit. It says, "Eshem hayoyim hazeh." Eshem, write, and Hashem said to Yecheskel, "I want you to put in writing." This day, es etzem hayoyim hazeh, the essence of this day, etzem hayoyim hazeh. From here we learn, many poskim learn, that the law of Asara B'Teves must be observed on the 10th day. It's unlike the other three fast days in this process, which are not connected to a specific day. It's part of a month. And being that it's related to a month and the month is flexible, you can pick a date on the month. Thank you very much for the coffee. Thank you so much. Maybe you could do me a favor, can you ask him to go to the other side of the building? Okay, it's not dependent upon the date of the month. It's on the month. That creates a flexibility. But when it comes to Asar B'Teves, it must take place on a very specific day. Be'etzem hayoyim hazeh. That creates a whole new dimension to this fast day. Now there's one more piece to the puzzle, and we're going to move on. And this is something which is very controversial. This idea is a bit more controversial. This idea is a very fascinating article here in the Nitik Arvil about this idea. Different opinions is that being that the Pasuk also says by Asar B'Teves Be'etzem Hayoim Hazeh, it says the word day, that gives us the impression or the grounds, according to some opinions, the fast is only in the morning, in the daylight hours. The fast is not the night before. Now, Tisha B'Av is the night before. And the truth is that the other two fast days, Shavasa B'Tamos and Tzom Gedalia, it appears from what we know originally, when the fast was observed in the time of the Nevi'im, it was observed the night before. The same exact way we observe today, Tisha B'Av, is how they observed Shavasa B'Tamos and Tzom Gedalia. The fast began at night. And all five prohibitions apply. Not just eating and drinking. You're not allowed to bathe. You're not allowed to wear leather shoes. All of the prohibitions apply. Today, we don't do that anymore. Because today, after the Churban of the Bayis Sheni, there's a complex piece of Gemara that discusses this. Today, when we observe these fast days, we're observing them as a custom, not as a law. Okay, this is its topic in and of itself. And because it's not today the way it was before, there are leniencies, and we do not have to observe the fast day from the night before. We only observe it in the morning with many leniencies. And if a person is not feeling well, he doesn't have to fast, v'chulu v'chulu. But Tisha B'Av, being that it's such a serious matter, we're more machmir, and we observe it the way we used to observe it. But let's go down to the ikorim, the root of the matter, what used to be in the original form. Some want to suggest a very fascinating chiddush, and that is, in its original form, when the fast days were pure, when they were originally instituted, on Shavasa B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av and Tzom Gedalia, they fasted the night before as well. But for Asar B'Teves, no. It's light. It's lightweight. It's only the beginning. There's still potential for us to do teshuva. So the fast was established only in the morning. At night, you can eat. At night, you can go to a wedding. There's no restriction whatsoever at night. Nothing. What I just said now is very controversial. This is a big explosive topic if there's any truth to that. And the source why it should be true is because it says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Now you'll argue Yom means the calendar day. It doesn't necessarily mean daylight hours. It's not so simple. So it would come out now, we've basically presented four unique elements. And some of them are contradictory, which is not a problem, to bring out the uniqueness of tomorrow. Number one, it's the Aschalto de Paranusa. It's the beginning of the process. Number two, Asar B'Teves, it says in the Pasuk, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. It's not just a fast. That is the beginning of the process. It is unlike the other fast days, where it's not just any day in the month, a day that you observe in the month. Pick a day. It has a calendar date. It's a din in the day. That's something that's very severe, the day. Okay, number three. What was number now? What I forget something? Okay, the other thing was that it's in a month. Okay, we express this idea. There's also an element of a month. Okay, it's not just a day. Okay, number three is we cannot ignore the fact that it says in the Pasuk that Tzoyim Horevi, Tzoyim Hachamishi, Tzoyim Hashvi, Tzoyim Ho'asiri. So there's also an element that it's a month. There's something about the fast day that relates to the month, but there's something about the fast day that relates to the day. And then there's this new principle, a leniency. Only by day, not at night.
But I think, you know, there's a basis for this with all the psukim in the Torah.
Yeah.
Etzem hayoyim, was daylight, you know, like 12 noon.
Oh, right. Yom, midday, right. So yom is midday. So on the one end, two of the four elements, okay, there's a concept of a month. Okay, fine, like all the other fast days. And all the other fast days, they begin. If you want to compare Tzom Gedalia, Atzar B'Teves, to all of the fast days, that means the fast, to a degree, begins at night. What will be a nafkamina? The nafkamina is, even though you're not fasting at night, it's not a time to engage in, have a wedding. It's not a time to go play cards and to play chess and to engage in other activities. It's not a time it's a terrible time. You don't have to, you can eat, fine, but it's a time to reflect upon the tragedy. If it's true that Asar B'Teves is equivalent to the other fast days, the other fast days certainly have an element of the fast beginning at night. So then Asar B'Teves is equal to them, which it appears that it is, because the Pasuk says the month and it compares it to the other four fast days, then the nighttime is not a time to engage in happy activities. But on the other hand,
there are weddings.
Right, you can be makel. Halacha lemaisa, because the truth is halacha lemaisa, you can be makel. Halacha lemaisa, if Moshe's true, is halacha lemaisa, we're makel. It's not ideal. No one's going to tell you that not only Asar B'Teves, Shavuos, but Tammuz, all the fast days, it's not ideal to make a wedding at night. You can be lenient technically for many reasons. Technically, you can be lenient, there are weddings. But even though we're lenient because there's no brera, you can't get a wedding call, and there are other issues, the mitzvah of pre-revi is more important, overrides. Asay, doichalois asay. Those are technical reasons why it's permitted to have a wedding. But it doesn't take away from the reality is that it's a day. The essence of what the day is all about begins at night. If we say that Asar B'Teves is equivalent to the other four fast days, because the other fast days, definitely it does. On the other hand, there's two elements of stringency in this fast day, being that it's the Aschalto de Paronus, it's the beginning of tragedy. And number two, the Pasuk singles out the day, Be'etzem Hayoim Hazeh. But yet, look at the complexity of this matter, where Mitzad Sheni, some want to say, there's nothing happening at night. All of the chumras, the stringencies, the severity, everything you want to go darshan about, does not apply to the night before. Because it says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. And it's not a contradiction. On the one hand, the beginning indeed, Aschalto de Paranusa, presents a degree of severity. But Mitzad Sheni, it's only the beginning. Things can change. It's not etched in stone yet. There's an element of, you can do tshuva. It's not over yet. The Beis HaMikdash is still standing. So it's not a contradiction. There's an element, a dimension of severity, and there's an element of leniency. If you want to accept this controversial approach to say that Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh means only daylight hours and not the night before. Okay, now, let me discuss one other thing that I find to be very, very fascinating, and we have to halacha. One other topic. This year, we'll get into the halacha in a few moments. There's not many halachas that I'm aware of that we're going to spend time on, but this year, when does the fast end? When the fast, it takes place on Erev Shabbos. So when do you end the fast? Halacha lemaisa, the minhag ha'olam is, those who are well, those who are able to, not everyone, okay, there are obviously people have medical conditions and there are issues, but a healthy person, the halacha lemaisa, the practical halacha is, you make kiddush after it's fully dark. Tzeis ha'kecham, that's what it says in the Ramah. The Ramah says, you fast the entire day, and you should daven early. Don't. There's no need to be machmir. You daven early. Daven ma'ariv Kabbalah Shabbos. Speaking early Kabbalah Shabbos. Okay, all the shuls, even the shuls that daven late, this Friday are going to be davening. There aren't too many that daven late. Hard to find the minyan. Maybe in the yeshivas. The only places where they daven late on Friday night are in the yeshivas. Mm-hmm. You can barely find the minyan in these places, but they daven late Friday night, and they're going to be davening early. They all daven early tomorrow because there's no need to torture people. And you daven Ma'ariv early so that you calculate the Ma'ariv that by the time you walk home and you finish saying Shalom Aleichem, Esh Yischayil, and you bench your children and you fight a little bit, and you say some lashon hara, and you sit down to make kiddush. Oh, Oh, look at that. It's exactly Tzeis HaKoychavim. What is called Tzeis? Now, for Tzeis HaKoychavim, for a fast day, is 45 minutes. Anyone that observes more than 45 minutes for a fast day, tell them to see me. Okay? A fast day, you only need to wait 45 minutes. There's no 72 minutes. There's no 90 minutes. There's no 50 minutes. 45 minutes after sunset is when you can eat l'chatchila, except for Yom Kippur. Except for Yom Kippur. That's the only exception. 45 minutes. So you can calculate your davening ma'ariv early, and give yourself enough time to walk home and take care of all of your business at home, so that when you get up to saying, Boire Priya Gofen, when you say Boire Priya Gofen, it should be punkt b'diyuk on the clock, 45 minutes after sunset, and then you can drink the wine. That's the minhag ha'olam. Now, if a person is really starving, an exception, a person really, really is in a famine, he's like starving, then he l'halacha should break his fast before Shabbos, at least a half an hour before Shabbos, so he should not enter into Shabbos in a state of being famished. But most people from the Ramah don't have this problem. They're a little hungry. You're a little hungry. Don't worry, it's okay to be a little hungry. And you'll come into Shabbos. It's not a bizarre for Shabbos. It's an early day. It's only what time is it going to be? It's going to be 5 o'clock. So I don't know, whatever. It's going to be something like that. Whatever it is, 5 o'clock, something around that time. Don't worry. You're not in a state of being mezalzel in Shabbos if you come into Shabbos in a state of fasting. When Chazal say you should not enter into Shabbos in a state of fasting, it means if you've been fasting for 3 days. Okay, you've been fasting for 3 days straight, you're literally dying, and now you come into Shabbos, oh, that's a bezoin for Shabbos. But we don't seem to have that problem. And therefore, the Ramah says we fast all the way until the very end. Now, what's very interesting means is that you entering into Shabbos, I'm going to make a point that I never thought about before, and it just strikes me as being very interesting. That means tomorrow, basically, every single person in Klal Yisrael, observant person who's serious about this, is going to end off his fast wearing his Big Day Shabbos. You're going to wear Big Day Shabbos. You're going to be saying Shalom Aleichem, Eish Eschayil. You're going to be saying Kiddush. You're going to be saying the Kiddush while you're still fasting, while you're still observing the process of Churban. The Churban is a five-stage, is a process. It's a five-stage process. We go from Asar B'Teves, Shivas B'Tamus, Tisha B'Av, Atzom Gedalia, and the Yom HaShemua. So it's a process. You're going to be observing the beginning, the Aschalto de Paranusa in Big Day Shabbos. What does that strike me? I told this to you many, many times. This idea always struck me. And Tisha B'Av, it happens pretty often that Tisha B'Av falls out Mitzvah Shabbos. And we do not make Havdalah until after Tisha B'Av. If you don't make Havdalah, it's still Shabbos. I know you can do malacha. I know it's over. Put in b'day chol. We all know that. But Shabbos lingers. There's something about the Shabbos that continues to linger on until you make that Havdalah. Which means that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Mitzvah Shabbos, it's like you're observing Tisha B'Av on Shabbos. And I told you this many times. There are most people, before they come to shul, they take off their Big Day Shabbos, and they come in jeans and t-shirts, Mitzvah Shabbos, to Kinos. And then there are people in Klal Yisrael that have a custom. You don't do that. When Tisha B'Av falls out Mitzvah Shabbos, you wear your Big Day Shabbos. You don't take off. There's a hakpada. Do not take off your Big Day Shabbos. That is correct. The Kinos at night and Eicha, you should be wearing your Big Day Shabbos when you recite Eicha and recite Kinos. Isn't it a little strange? It's a little strange that you should be saying Kinos wearing Big Day Shabbos. So that opens up a whole elaborate discussion of what exactly is Tisha B'Av all about. Is there an element of of not rejoicing, but of an element in Tisha B'Av where you take pride in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares enough about you to punish you, to get you on the right track. It's a horror, it's painful, but there's an element like Baruch Hashem. Hashem still cares about us. He's still on our team. And the same way that's true on Tisha B'Av, the worst moment in time, it's also true in the beginning of the process on Shavasa B'Tamos. Shavasa B'Tamos is the Aschalto de Peranusa. And here we are in the Aschalto de Peranusa. We're celebrating our punishment in Big Day Shabbos. We're wearing Big Day Shabbos to celebrate. We're making Kiddush and singing Shalom Aleichem, Eish Yisrael, celebrating our punishment. What are we, out of our minds? Are we crazy? This is not a good thing that the enemy has laid siege to our city, and this is the beginning of a process of Churban, of death and pain and destruction, and you're wearing Big Day Shabbos? What are you, out of your mind? No. It's something very big. There's something very holy, very, very, very dignified. There's dignity in this, to acknowledge Mimatzdik Olav Esadin. It's a very powerful concept. There are many gedolim that when they were taken to Auschwitz, different types of stories where they're going to do Al Kiddush Hashem, we die with dignity. We're not going to die Al Kiddush Hashem like a beggar. Okay, Rav Shimon Schwab, he slept in his Shabbos clothing. Every night when he was in Germany during the worst, during the times of when they were rounding up Jews and when there were persecutions, when it was very dangerous, because he knew they're going to come to get him in the middle of the night and they're going to hang him up in the middle of the street. And he doesn't want his body to look like a beggar hanging in the middle. He wants, when the goyim walk by and when the Jews walk by and they see him hanging from a noose in the middle of the street, he should be dignified. That's right. I died Al Kiddush Hashem in a state of dignity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing us because we deserve it, whatever that means. And when we enter into the Aschalto de Peranusa, we're entering in Big Day Shabbos. Just like Mitzvah Shabbos on Tisha B'Av, Mitzvah Shabbos is Big Day de Peranusa. What am I saying? Just like Tisha B'Av many times falls out Mitzvah Shabbos. Tisha is a Shabbos to Tisha B'Av. The whole Tisha B'Av, you didn't make Havdalah. If you didn't make Havdalah, it's still Shabbos to some degree. What about Tzom Gedalia? Same thing. Tzom Gedalia is the day after Rosh Hashanah. You're still in the glow. You're still in the glow of the very, very end. Tzom Gedalia is the end of part four. You're still in the glow of Kedusha. I told you last year, if you remember this, last year, okay, the whole thing about this, no one really paid too much attention to this, but I made a big deal about this, is that the Siyum HaShas, I made a big deal about this on Tisha B'Av. It didn't work out because I got into a lot of trouble with this. What did I do? I made this whole drash on Tisha B'Av, and I played, as I was saying my piece, I had playing on the screen the memorial for the Kedoshim, for the Kedoshim, that a video clip of the Siyum HaShas. This, a year ago, mamash, 1 year ago, January 1st. Mm-hmm. January 1st was a year ago, before Corona. Isn't it amazing how spooky? There was no Corona. 90,000 people sitting on each other, no social distancing. Okay, what happened to us in 1 year? It's like we fell off a cliff. Okay, 90,000 people sitting there together. And at the end of the Siyum HaShas, they had a very moving memorial for the Kedoshim. Baruch Hashem, I've been at the Siyum HaShas, a couple of Siyum, nothing compared, it's a mazel, nothing compared to the intensity of the memorial January 1st at MetLife. Mm-hmm. Every Siyum HaShas, a mazel, what part of it comes out nice? The last time what came out beautiful was the children. They had this whole tribute, the whole of this the whole a chizuk that the children should contribute. That was awesome. That was last time. That was 2 times ago. Last time the prayer, when they did the children section, didn't really mazel, didn't really hit any home run. And the Holocaust part, which usually doesn't really go off too well, last time it really went off well. It really was the highlight of the Siyum HaShas by far. It was very emotional, and there were a lot of people sobbing, and the video camera was focusing on them. So on Tisha B'Av, I had that video clip play in a loop while I mentioned, what was the calendar date? What was the calendar date? That was the English date. What was the Hebrew date? Well, the Siyum HaShas was called for 12 o'clock. For 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And then it was delayed by an hour. It started an hour later. And what was the Hebrew date? It was the 4th day of Teves. And by the time they got up to the beginning of the memorial, it was exactly Kemat Tseis HaKoychavim. It was the 5th day of Teves. What is the 5th day of Teves? The Yom HaShemua. It says in Sefer Yirmiyah, on this day, Yirmiyah, write down this day in your book. Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, on the 5th day, they receive report that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Everyone is dead. You're all that we got left. This was the worst day in the history of Klal Yisrael. It's over. There's no hope. And the Holocaust is equivalent to that day. The Holocaust was the end. And who would imagine that Klal Yisrael could rebuild itself to celebrate a Siyum HaShas with such beauty, magnificent achdus, and hashkocha pratis? When did it come out? The moment of this memorial began b'diyuk tseis hakoychavim be'etzem hayoyim hazeh. Hashkocha. And by the way, when was the Siyum HaShas supposed to really be? It was on a Wednesday.
Right.
It was supposed to be the following Sunday. The last daf in Shas was Shabbos. The goal was to make the Siyum HaShas on Sunday. MetLife says we can't give it to you. Because maybe the Jets or the Giants, maybe, they'll get into the Super Bowl. So we need to leave it open. Really? You really Cholam Zach? They're going to make it? We can't. After all the negotiations fell apart, we can't give it to you. We have to reserve it. Okay, new Nebuch. Let's push it back. New Year's. We'll do it Wednesday, going into Thursday. What? That was the Jets and the Giants? It was the Ribbono Shel Olam. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu paying back a debt from 3,000 years ago. You're depressed. You think it's over. It ain't over. Pe'etzem, it was a magnificent moment. A magnificent moment where people, they showed all that they had a whole section. I wonder if they're alive. Probably Corona. Who knows what happened? The biggest victims of Corona were Holocaust survivors. They were able to survive Hitler, Yimach Shemo, but they couldn't survive Corona. You know how many people, how many Holocaust survivors die from Corona? It's unimaginable. And last year, January 1st, they had a section for them. Anyone that was a Holocaust survivor was a celebrity in the section. And the cameras were focusing on them. And they were sobbing. To witness this rebirth, this renaissance. Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, incredible, incredible hashkocha. It's not to be believed. The hashkocha process, how all of this came together. So my point, what am I trying to bring out with this? This happened on the fifth day. The fifth day is the end of the Churban, the last part. And yet, we were all dressed in Big Day Shabbos on the fifth day, on the fifth day of Teves last year. We were all dressed in Big Day Shabbos, celebrating Kavod HaTorah. Haloi Davar? It's uncanny that more often than not, the days that are miyuchid for Churban, we find ourselves wearing Big Day Shabbos. What's going on? This year, we're going to be wearing Big Day Shabbos during the Aschalta de Paranusa. You're going to be making Kiddush while you're fasting, commemorating the Aschalta de Paranusa. What are you wearing your Big Day Shabbos? Take off your Big Day Shabbos. Go put ash on your head. Go lie down on the floor and cry. What are you wearing Big Day Shabbos? What are you singing songs? The answer is dignity. Matzdik olav esadin. There is a time to mourn. Absolutely. We mourn, unfortunately, a lot, quite a bit. But there's also an element of hakara. Baruch Hashem, Hashem loves us enough to punish us. As painful as it may be, there's a comfort in knowing He still cares about us. He cares about us to set us straight, as painful as it may be. Okay, now very quickly, halacha. I want to talk about nitl for a few moments, but let's do some little halacha. There aren't many different halachas for tomorrow. It's all basically the same. The only thing you have to remember is mincha tomorrow we lay in vayichal. So you just can't run to shul 5 minutes before shkia because you're going to miss the whole show. Tomorrow by mincha, Ron, you have a sefer Torah tomorrow for mincha outside, outdoors, in the freezing cold. You have to lay in tomorrow with the sefer Torah. Mincha.
Yes, we do.
Okay. No avinu malkeinu.
This morning.
No avinu malkeinu. There's no tachnun, but you lain ashrei vayichal dirshu Hashem v'motze oy. Okay, you lain the haftorah. You lain the haftorah, and the tachit says there shomer shabbos mechaloloi. It's very relevant the haftorah. The haftorah that you lain on a tiny seed makes mention of Shomer Shabbos, those who observe Shabbos, mechalala. What better thing could you say when you enter into Shabbos, a reminder to observe Shabbos correctly? So tomorrow, the only really thing you have to remember is that, you know, Shachris, of course, you say Slichos, regular Tainus. Right. All the regular rules before you go, when you the Tainus begins, just remember, the Tainus begins really when you go to sleep. That's the halacha. When you go to sleep, that's when it begins. So if you wake up in the middle of the night, you're not allowed to eat. Unless you make a tanai. You say, I'm going to sleep. But when I wake up in the middle of the night, I want to still be able to drink and eat and do whatever I want. Then it does not start until Alois HaShachar, 72 minutes before sunrise. That's when it really starts. And if you want to eat, you can eat until the very last minute. But if you want to eat bread or a significant amount of mezonos, then you should not eat the bread unless you begin to eat the bread at least a half an hour before Alois HaShachar. If you take a little snack, you could eat even the last second. But if you want to eat bread, you have to eat the bread, make the hamotzi at least a half an hour before Alois HaShachar, and then you can continue eating until the very last moment, and you're allowed to bench after the fast starts. Okay, you don't have to finish benching. You need not finish benching before Alois HaShachar. You can eat until the very last moment and bench after Alois HaShachar. Okay, then Shachris, all the regular rules, and if you want to use mouthwash, you can. Brushing your teeth, you can. If you need to brush your teeth, you can brush your teeth. Just don't swallow anything. And davening, there's slichos, and you say Yilein Vayichal in the morning, and you say Tachnon. Everything is regular. Mincha is regular, but you don't say Avinu Malkeinu, and you don't say Tachnon, but otherwise a regular mincha, like a fast day with Ashrei, and Vaychal, and the Haftorah, and you say Aneinu. By mincha you say Aneinu, not by Shachris. By Shachris only the Shliach Tzibur says Aneinu, before he says, after the Baruch of Goal Yisrael, he has an insert, but everyone else does not say anything by Shachris. The only time they say Aneinu is by mincha. That's the only extra insert for mincha. And then you come into Mincha has to start early enough that you'll finish Mincha before sunset. And then immediately you daven Kabbalah Shabbos, a regular Kabbalah Shabbos, a regular Ma'ariv, and you should calculate it that everyone can be home so that when they make Kiddush, make a calculation so that you'll finish Kabbalah Shabbos, you'll finish Ma'ariv, you'll walk home, you'll sing Shalom Aleichem, Eishes Chayil, and by the time you get to the Baruch, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokei Melech Olam, Baruch Pri Hagafen, you look at the clock, and it's exactly 45 minutes after sunset. If a person really is hungry, you can be lenient. You can wait 40 minutes after sunset. If you really want to be more lenient, you can wait 35 minutes, 30 minutes, 20 minutes. There are many leniencies in when the fast really ends. 45 minutes is a chumrah. It's a chumrah. It's a very popular number in this community, 45 minutes. But if you want to be lenient, you can go a little earlier, especially this year when it's Erev Shabbos. You can be lenient, you can wait 30 minutes, 25 minutes. If you get home and it's only 30 minutes, you could already, there's no issue whatsoever. You could already break the fast. It's perfectly fine. The Ramah says you should wait until Tzitzit HaKavim. It is called Tzitzit HaKavim. 30 minutes is Tzitzit HaKavim, according to some opinions. That's fine. And that's it. That basically, that's basically it for now. Obviously, there are a lot of halachas of fasting, all halachas, but as far as the uniqueness of being Friday, there's not that. There is such a thing, though. There are opinions which are not followed that hold that being that it's Erev Shabbos, you should not lein vayechal. You don't lein the same way you do not say tachanun, and you do not say avinu malkeinu when it's Erev Shabbos. No leining. It's not a kovod for Shabbos to lein vayechal. This is a very strong opinion, and there are many who say this, but it's not accepted. It's not followed. There's no shul you're going to find in this neighborhood that does not lein vayechal tomorrow. It's unheard of. However, there is an afkamina. If you're in a shul and it's getting late, the minyan now, especially with corona, not everyone's coming to shul, and you have a hard time getting a minyan, and the clock is ticking. This guy call up that guy, this guy, that guy. And before you blink, this happens, before you blink, you know, it's very late. And if we now slain vayichal, it's going to delay us quite a bit, and it make complications. If that happens, it is mutter lechatchila to skip the laning, period. Skip it. Because many places can hold, you should not even be laning. So if you're going to lane, it's going to create complications, many complications. You're going to end up davening mincha after shkia. You're going to end up davening ma'ariv. You're going to come late. Your family is starving. You're coming home late. You're delaying your family, your children. If you are in a situation where you blew it because people just did not come on time, and now there's a delay, then skip it. Don't lane. You don't need a lane, because anyway, many places can hold, you should not be laning Erev Shabbos. Now, the ideal thing is to daven mincha early tomorrow. Probably a lot of places do that tomorrow, like Shabbos Chanukah. A lot of places tomorrow, in order not to play games, they're going to be davening mincha tomorrow very early. You'll probably see today a plethora of emails and WhatsApp texts and this and that. Mincha tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Show up 1 o'clock, vayichal, and this and that. You're going to make an early mincha for tomorrow. You're going to see today, it's going to be a flood that's going to come soon. That's what you
15 minutes early in the backyard.
Okay, so you're doing it late. You're waiting for the very end. You make sure the people show up, because if they're not going to show up, I'm telling you to skip the landing.
No show.
Okay. So But that is part of the issues of you can skip it if it's necessary, if you're going to be late. But l'chatchila, of course, you should daven, whatever, and daven early if you can. Everyone is different. Okay, now let's discuss for a few moments nittel. Tonight is December 25th, 12 o'clock on the dot.
did you discuss going to the mikveh Friday?
What's the difference? Why is Friday different this Friday than any other Friday?
You can go to the mikveh.
Like every Friday, you should go to the mikveh. Whatever you do, those who go to mikveh on Friday, go to the mikveh. I mean, whatever. There's no different than any Friday.
You can take a shower.
Oh, you're saying because bathing. I'm sorry. Yes, of course. You can do everything you ordinarily do l'chavayit Shabbos. You can take a haircut. You can bathe. You can go to the mikvah. There is no limitation. Even on a regular fast day, there's no limitation. On a regular fast day, me'ikar hadin, you can take a shower. So certainly, l'chvoyit Shabbos, whatever you would ordinarily do in honor of Shabbos, of bathing, going to the mikvah, cutting your nails, and this and that, all of these things are fully permitted to be done tomorrow, being that it's Erev Shabbos. It's a fast day, but it's Erev Shabbos. The only thing that's forbidden is eating and drinking, and the davening is different. Okay, now, tonight is 12 o'clock, nittel. Now, this is a big topic. What is nittel? What does even the word mean? Now, you should know from all the years, the best stuff I've ever seen really is Nitei Gavriel. In the Nitei Gavriel, he has a massive section on nittel. I barely scratched the surface of what he has. He has incredible stuff. I never knew he had such good stuff. Why is it called nittel? He has over here a collection of reasons. Sir, Machol always tells me it's, I don't even know how to pronounce this. My ignorance, Nazara.
What?
Where did he come from? Where did Yoshua come from? Nazareth. So right. Some want to suggest word nital is a play on the word of the Nazareth. What does Nazareth mean? A Nazir?
And I told you before.
It's a place,
that
it's a location, a city, right? Isn't that?
That this urge to Hebraicize non-Jewish words is I find it ridiculous. Because nittel clearly means birth, like neonatal means a newborn in English. I mean, it's just simple.
Okay,
they birth. Want to Judaize everything.
They want to find. So some want to say nittel is a play on the word of Nazareth, where he came from. He was called the Nazareth. Some say nittel means he was taken. It's the day he died. It's your sight. Okay, some want to. No one knows anything. By the way, everything over here is just potluck. All of these ideas.
And anyway, the term is notzri.
A notzri.
Okay.
But tonight, what is the unique about tonight? Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'dvaray. And it's okay. Whatever. There are many different theories. No one has a grasp on what it really means. Some say nittel comes from the word Nitila, to be taken, which indicates that some believe that this is the day he was killed. Okay, he was killed. He was.
The day he was born.
No, killed. Different opinions. There are different opinions, right? Nitil, he was nitilasai v'akirasai min ha'olam. Yoshka was dismissed from this world. Let's go. Another turn. Some say the word nittel means lashon of nittel, he was hung. He was hung up on a tree. Some say it means, it comes from the word birth. Okay, as Mechol just said this. In Latin, it means, natal means birth. In the hospital, what do you say, Mechol? Babies, the neonatal.
Born is a born. Neonatal.
Neonatal. So that means it's the anniversary of his birth. Because L'chori, he was killed, Erev Pesach. The Mishnah says that Yoshka was killed, he was hung, Erev Pesach, not December 25th, far from it. So what then is the day when he was born? Neonatal. Some say, this one I like the best, Pasuk in Eicha, Yeshev Bodod, the Yidoim, you should sit in isolation and reflect, Ki notal olav. And what does notal means? Hashem has come down hard upon you. Okay, you have to look for a better translation. Notal olav means HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, in that context, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu has humbled you. Ki notal olav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has flexed his muscles. You have to really find, I have to really look at the better translation. Thus, that's why we don't learn. That's why we are in a state of shock. Christianity has spilled more blood than can possibly be calculated with all of the measuring instruments in this world. The tsaris that the Christians have brought upon the Jews is unimaginable in every dimension possible. And many suggest the reason why we do not, those who have this custom, which is not a Litvish custom, not to learn Torah, avelus. Tonight is a zman of avelus. Christianity has brought upon the world darkness. And we fulfill what it says in the pasuk for 6 hours. By the way, nitl, when is nitl? It goes from sunset until chatzos. Okay, from sunset until chatzos, which is about 5 o'clock until 12 o'clock or 12:15. That's it. It's over. Wait, they change the clock now, right? So wait, I'm looking for no. It's not daylight savings now. Now it's okay. So 5 from the 12, 12:15 to 12:15. You sit for 6 hours in isolation and you mourn. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought kinotal olav. Nitl comes from the word kin, this pasuk in Eicha. Now, how could I forget to tell you the most basic aleph base? I'm surprised no one's screaming at me. The reason why the minig among these groups is not to learn. And every sefer that says talks about nitl, it's the first thing that flows off, leaps off the words of the page of any sefer that's worth anything is, it's just pashut sakonis nefashis. Is that in times years ago, the Christians, they went to mass, they went midnight to hear the priest, the pope, chveis, whoever it was, their minister, their cardinal, their bishop, darshan, in shul, in their church, and the goyim get all roused up, and they get drunk, and on their way back, or on the way there, they look for a Jew to kill. Pogroms. They get all worked up, misha goyim, looters. They're loot mamish. Yeah, BLM.
As my wife likes to say, the reason that they schedule their mass at midnight is they wanted to do it before the people all got drunk, so they wouldn't, otherwise they wouldn't show up.
It's just plain and simple, a dangerous time to be on the streets. It's like BLM, okay? They're riots, okay? Everyone was boarding up their stores. That's all it's about. So Chazal said, don't go to the Beis Medrash. Don't go to Ma'ariv. Stay home. Sakonis nefashis. What are you going out? What are you going out into the street for? Pikuach nefesh. There's no religious element to this. There's no avelus. There's no commemorating his focusing on his birth, his death, his this, his that. Be practical. It's pikuach nefesh. These mishagoyim out there, and they'll kill you. They see a Jew, they'll kill a Jew tonight. Stay home. Don't go to Beis Medrash. That's all it's about. That is super duper obvious. Okay, that's the most basic thing. Now you want to justify why today, Baruch Hashem, Chasdei Hashem, we live in a society that they're not going to church. They don't care. They couldn't care less. The average Christian, no one's going to church tonight. They don't care. If tomorrow morning they'll go on the news. They'll see what the Pope said last night. If you're lucky. Even that they won't even do. So it's not any more dangerous today than it is tonight, than it is any other night. So we're looking to justify, why don't we still do it? Why don't we go to Beis Medrash? Oh, you're looking to justify something? Oh, that's why the people have come up with all these very, very bizarre and very exotic reasons of why you should not be learning tonight. Because you're going to be misakin his neshama. This is really, I don't know this, I'm sorry. Tikkun his neshama. These are Kabbalistic things. Okay, or Avelos, that appeals to me a little bit, that it's a moment to reflect Avelos. 1 year, I spent the whole shiur on this, I really like this, I spent some time on this idea, is in Chazal, there's a principle called Pa'amim Shebitula Zehu Kiyuma. Sometimes in Halacha, there's a time not to learn. Okay, there are times in Judaism where get out of the Beis Medrash, and go make a living, or go to a demonstration, or go help someone who's suffering, or go to a funeral, or go protest, or go do this, do a chesed, or let's say the government. There's times when there's corruption. So you know what? Let's close down the yeshiva because it's not worth it. It's not worth it to be under their influence, to follow their rules. There's a principle in Chazal called Pa'amim Shebitula Zehu Kiyuma. There are times when being mevatel from Torah is the way you preserve the Torah. Tonight is that time. There's a time when you tackle, don't learn. You don't learn. And when you're not learning, you're making a statement. Remind yourself. Pa'amim should be, not every time in life is the right time to be learning. You have to be very careful in how you value your time. There's nothing more important in life than learning Torah. That's a God-given fact. But don't abuse it. Don't use it as an excuse for corruption, for responsibility, to take responsibility for things that are important, and not to use it as an excuse to make other people suffer, and other people should give up their life for you. And you have to know how to balance that principle. This zman is a zman of pa'amim shebitula zekuma. Now, it's also another quick idea. A quick idea of what it is. It's a time of avelus. It's not. What is the avelus? The avelus. Okay, we talk about all of the blood they spilled. It's also a tragedy to what happened to Yeshu, this person. Now, let me take a step back very quickly. Who was Yeshu? When did he live? There are three opinions regarding this. There appears to be a person whose name is Yeshu, who lived 180 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. And he was the student of Rabbi Shuben Prachya. And many want to say he was Yeshu. Now, how could that be? According to the Christians, Yeshu is the year zero, right? He was, which basically is 100, which is the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 70. Approximately, which means that Yeshu lived in the year zero, 70 years before the Churban, during the Churban of Bayis. So that means, how could Yeshu ben Prachya was 180 years before the Churban, when the Yeshu that the Goyim are calculating their religion after was 70 years before the Churban? You have a 110-year discrepancy. Something doesn't make sense. So others want to say that's not the Yeshu. There's another Yeshu in Gemara, Masechta Pesachim. It was censored, but he was basically, he lived during the time of Hilni Hamalka, if I'm not mistaken, which comes at approximately equivalent. That Yeshu that was killed, that was executed for Avodah Zarah by the Bezdin, by the Sanhedrin, was approximately 70 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. It's a different person. Some want to say that none of the above. The Meiri appears to say you got it all wrong. There was a Yeshu who was the Talmud of Rabbi Shimon Prachya who lived 180 years before the Churban. And there was a Yeshu who lived in top of Hilni Hamalka 80 years before the Churban. But Christianity has nothing to do with either one of them. Either one of them. There was another sect that slowly had, they became popular. And one thing is certainly clear, Christianity did not come about overnight. It was a very long, complex process of how it developed, how it became popular. And another very established fact is nobody knows what happened, because the history has not been recorded, and anything that was recorded was destroyed, was manipulated, was distorted. Nobody knows exactly how all the details came to be the way it is today. No one knows nothing. All we know is we have trouble on our hands. That's all we know. The origins, we really don't know much about. But one thing we do want to draw from, and that is, according to those who learn that its origins, its early origins, which obviously developed little by little, one Yeshu, another Yeshu, another Yeshu, until it sprouted and became a popular movement, it did have a little bit of its roots in Yeshu ben Prachya. Something very tragic happened with Yeshu ben Prachya. He was rejected. He was an awesome, awesome Talmud Chacham. He was a student. And the system failed him. He was abused by the system. The Jewish education system failed him. And the blame was by Chazal put squarely upon his Rebbe Yeshu ben Prachya. You're not a good educator. You were not trained. You did not receive the proper skills and training how to deal. You should not be an educator. You want to be a Rosh Shiva? Good, sit in the basement, should be a Rosh Shiva. But you're not fit to be in the classroom. It was a failure. Tonight, those people who don't learn Torah, they may tell you, we're not learning Torah because we're in Avelos. Pikudei Hashem Yesharim Misamchei Lev. To learn Torah brings Simcha. We're in Avelos. You know who we're mourning for tonight? We're mourning for Yeshu. We're not mourning for him. We're mourning for us. We did it to him. We did it to him. We rejected him. We were doiche him b'shtei yodayim. We were too strict, too tough, and led him to go out letarbus ra'a. It's our fault. And the same way we did it to him, rachmana litzlam, we did it to a lot of other people. There are a lot of victims all over the place, in every institution, in our generations that have been damaged, been collateral damaged, have been victimized by their teachers, by the rebbeim, by their institutions. And we have no one to blame than ourselves because we did not properly educate ourselves in how to be good educators. We did not give enough money to institutions so they can hire good teachers, professionals that will not turn off the children, but turn them on. There's a lot of blame to go around everywhere, okay? And then also, who's to blame? You could do it better. We couldn't do anything better anyway, right? So on the one hand, don't blame anyone. This education has a life of its own. People can do everything right, and unfortunately, children, they don't turn out the way you expect. Okay, that's a fact. You can't at the end of the day, you can't really blame anyone. But on the other hand, there are things that we can do, and we know what we could have done, we should have done. You never know. So when we mourn, we're not mourning for Yashka. We're mourning for our failure. And how did we let this happen? And he's just a dogma for all of the other tragedies that have happened throughout history in Klal Yisrael of people who could have been and should have been, had great potential and fell through the cracks. And that's
he's a poster boy for OTD.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And we're mourning over our failure. We're not blaming anyone. Okay, there's a difference between mourning over our failure and blame. The blame game is not a game to play. That's a horrible thing because we all know, like I said before, you can do everything right and it doesn't work. And there are people, parents and teachers that do literally everything wrong you can possibly do. And for some reason, their children and their talmidim are gems. So it just goes to show we don't know nothing. It's like Corona. We know nothing, right? We know nothing about this. But yet, you have to do your ishtadlus and do it the right way. And we mourn over our failure in what at least we could have done miderech hateva al derech hashtadlus. Last thing I want to mention to you, very quickly, I know it's late. Last thing is, tomorrow is Asar B'Teves. There's no holiday. You know what Asar B'Teves is? The siege began. What is the siege? Lockdown. No one leaves, no one goes. Lockdown. What has this year been all about? Quarantine, lockdown. In every dimension. And it's never been more relevant. Asar B'Teves, it's a very frightening day. It's not about the Churban. It's not about the breaching of the walls. It's not about assassinations. It's about lockdown. The siege began. You can't go out, you can't go in, you can't do business, you can't do anything. You're afraid. It's a very frightening time. And we can very much relate to what was going through the minds of the people living in the time of the Bayis Rishon when the siege began, when they were under lockdown, and there was pachat, there was fear, what's going to be? Unfortunately, we're living through that now. And we at least have the tools, we have the tefillos, we have the nusach, we have the slichos, we have tefillos, in which Chazal gave us as a tool to express our frustration, our tzar, and our hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have rachamim upon us, upon Klal Yisrael, upon the entire world, to see very soon much better, enjoyable days of joy and nachas, prosperity, health, bracha, to us and everyone together. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy. Mirat Hashem. See you tomorrow. Don't play too much chess tonight.
No. You can watch the Nittel movie on Netflix.
Litvaks don't know from Nittel. They don't know from Nittel. They never heard of this thing before.
A lot of people start a share after 12 o'clock.
Right. Nittel only goes until 12 o'clock. Nittel is only from 12
to sleep,
from
to go to sleep,
6 to 12.
The whole night.
6 to 12. Nittel is from 6 to 12.
You know, that's interesting that you're saying that because it's the Skat and Hadarius, but the midnight mass is not really midnight. It's, you know, they adopt the concept of Zvizim Akdim. It's as early as 4 p.m.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a Reform shul. They have Yom Kippur at 4 o'clock.
That's just like Slichos. Some people want to do it before this month.
Yeah, but a few, more of them are opting earlier midnight mass. So it's really
necessary to go over and eat. Rabbi Levine, a question.
Yes.
Do you spell Nittel in Yiddish with a tuf or a tes?
I think a tes.
Okay. So he wasn't hanged. That would be with a tuf. And he wasn't hanged anyway. It was saliva, not talia. So.
Let me see. All. I hear you're 100. There's nothing to argue with you. Drive. You're totally right.
It comes from the word natale, which is Xmas in Latin.
Let me see. I'm not going to argue with you. You're 100% right. Let me just see what he says over here.
Oh, okay, but I'm saying you're right. But it's from natale. That's where it's from.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
So he says. So he says exactly what you said here, and then Nitzger really says that according to those that say it means to be hung, they spell it differently. Exactly. Oy nitol with a tov. First, he says nitol with a tes. Everyone says it with a tes. You see it always spell the tes. But indeed, some spell it with a tov. And a tov, like you said, is nitla. Nitla. Amiloshan. Okay, that's
natal. Which is untrue. I mean, the whole thing is just worship.
Okay, fine. Right. You're right. I'm not arguing. You're right. I'm not going to argue with you. Yeah, I'm not going
to
argue.
I just wanted to make that.
I like the only one that really resonates with me is the pasuk, Yeshev Badad V'Yidoyim Ki Notal Olav Nun Tes Lamed.
Oh, can I? I don't know. While I have you on connection, the call is for 11:45.
Okay, thanks.
Okay,
good. That's good. Okay, very good. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. You have no problem because we're done. Okay.
We sacrifice accuracy for speed.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, Rabbi Sai.
Thank you, have a good day.
Have a wonderful day.
All right.
Bye.
Yes.
My when I used to go on the yeshiva and I used to walk the streets, let's say, Nittel night, my mother's very scared. How could you walk?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
But Europeans, Europeans knew that.
That grass don't come down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the primary reason. That is a given. That is a davar posh. Like I told you, the primary reason why there was a custom not to learn Nittel is because of sakana. In later years, the situation in many countries got better and there was no sakana. However, they still tradition did not want to learn. So they had to justify, why don't we learn? Why don't we learn? Sakana, there's no more sakana. So they came up with all of these reasons, which some of them are way over the top, as to preserve the custom not to learn. It's like I saw this year Pesach, a cartoon. A cartoon was, there was a mother with a little girl going shopping for Pesach 100 years from now. Okay, 100 years from now, a mother with her girl going shopping in the cartoon, the little girl says to her mother, Mommy, why when we go shopping for Pesach do we wear a mask? So the mother says, I don't know, because my mother did this. My mother wore a mask. And her mother wore a mask. So it's tradition. When you go shopping for Pesach, you wear a mask. In 100 years from now. So it's the same thing. Originally, it's clear as day. They didn't learn because it was sakonis nefashos. A Jew was caught in the street. When they came home from church, they would kill you. They were drunk. They were crazy. The pastor, their priest said that the Jews murdered Yashka. Go get the Jews. Kill them all. And they were drunk, and it was sakonis nefashos. Things got better. They didn't go to church. They weren't all worked up. So you can go to Beis Medrash. So go learn. No. Last year we didn't learn. David, how are you, David? Stay. Thank you very much. Okay. Zayg, have a good day. Have a good day. So they stopped. So why don't you learn? Last year we didn't learn. Last year there was a sakana. There's no more sakana. So go learn. No. I don't want to learn. I want to play chess instead. Why do you want to go play? Alpi Kabbalah, you're supposed to play chess tonight. That's what happened. That's really what happened. And some of the reasons they figured out are very good reasons. You know, they have a lot of lumnish reasons. They have calculations, this and that. The bottom line is, the Litvaks don't know from this. They never heard of this. They don't know from this. Go learn. Don't confuse me with all of these things. B'zehu. In Eretz Yisrael, it was never done. In Eretz, there was never a sakana there regarding the other sakanas, the Arabs. The Arabs were the big sakana. There was never a sakana of Jews being killed the night of December 25th in Eretz Yisrael. So there was never a minog in Eretz Yisrael to observe Nittel. When Hasidim came to Eretz Yisrael after the war, they brought with them the minog of Nittel. It's a foreign thing to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was not a land where they had the problem of Nittel. It's an Arab country. It was under the control of the Turks and other types of enemies that did not know from this. So why are you observing in Eretz Yisrael? They brought it with them from the Christian lands.
The Christians brought anti-Semitism to the Middle East through the Dreyfus Affair. The French brought it to Syria, and it spread.
Well, that's not the... Anyhow, Rabbi Fran made a point of saying that it had to do with the Kufus Teves, which was a Sman Tumah.